for tuning in to the Journey Podcast. May today's message help you in your own spiritual journey.
So organic is important because in the long term, as opposed to just advertising somewhere, it brings in more growth. In the church, when we talk about organic, actually, we're going to look at what happened in the early church. And everything in the early church, especially in the passage that we're going to look at today, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, everything was organic. Everything was natural. The growth in the church, as mentioned in this passage in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, the end there says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." And in our generation, our churches focus on, you know, evangelism and reaching a lot of people, and we think of programs, of strategies to do that, but, you know, the early church, for the early church, it was natural for them. It was organic. And today we're going to look at what were the essentials that they had. They were actually growing naturally. And they had the right focus. They had the right focus, which is the pursuit of Christ, the love of Jesus. And their love for Jesus manifested in the way they lived, as we're going to see in the passage this morning. In fact, in the church, it manifested in four ways. And those are the essentials that we'd like to focus on today. The four W's. Some of you have read about this, you've heard of these terms, but they had this. They had welcome worship, they had the word, they had works. These four things are what we see in the body of Christ. They are actually evidences that the church had the right focus, had the right attention geared towards Christ. We also set them as the four things we value in our small groups. In this series, Better Together, we have been talking about the importance of being part of a small group in the body of Christ. You know, we meet here every Sunday, we meet in a large setting, but the body of Christ operated originally in clusters, small clusters, in home meetings in the New Testament. And that's what we want to do, or we want to happen in our church, that we focus on the value of small groups, the DNA groups. And in the DNA groups, we use these four things, four W's, as our pattern in conducting our own DNA group. We make sure that we have these four things as well. Welcome, worship, word, works. Can we read those terms aloud so we can remember them? They're easy to remember, just four W's. Let's read, ready, begin. Welcome, worship, word, and works. So it's easy to remember. Even without that, you can easily recall them. But in the passage, we don't see these four things in the exact order as mentioned. But that's all right. That's not important, because each of them are equally important in the body of Christ. Let's look at, for example, welcome. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the first part of the verse says they devoted themselves to the fellowship. To the fellowship. It starts with the teaching of the apostles. We'll look at that later. But fellowship, to the fellowship. In other translations, you would see they devoted themselves to fellowship. But in this rendering, it says to the fellowship. It's talking about the body of Christ. It's talking about people. It's not the interaction that they're committed to. It's the people that they are devoted to. And in this kind of relationship, what we want to happen, as we have been talking about in last Sundays, what we want to happen is that in the small groups or in the body of Christ, each member Ideally and hopefully, we want each one to be known, to be cared for, to be challenged in their spiritual growth, in their spiritual life, and to be held accountable. That's what's supposed to happen in the body of Christ. And that doesn't happen in a setting like this. But in our small groups, in our DNA, that is made possible. And today, instead of just talking and talking here and blabbering, I invited four families to be represented. They are attendees of our DNA groups, and I'd like for you to hear how the DNA groups has been a blessing or a benefit to them, you know, personally and as a family. And I'd like to invite right now Eric and Carla Lee to share their story of being part of the small group. So we'll be hearing four of them. After each point, we'll hear one of them share. Later on, we'd like to ask the next person to share. That will be Brother Nito. We'll call on him later to share.
Each of us is doing. So we
answer four questions. The first question is, what was your highest and lowest point of the past week? Now, what was life-giving? What was depressing? Two extremes. Then the second question is, how are you feeling right now? So it helps us to really look at ourselves and connect to ourselves as well. You know, feelings, more on the heart feelings, not how your body is feeling. But sometimes we also express that, you know, I'm physically tired. So it helps us connect with each one. But the third question is, what do you feel your needs are right now? And we try to express them even with the fact that maybe the group won't be able to meet those needs, but you know, just identifying those needs and expressing those needs somehow helps us to understand how we are doing right now. And as we do that, the fourth thing we say is, I'm in. I'm in. You know where I am right now. As we start our small group. So we just begin our small group that way. We connect with each one before we start to talk about the other stuff that we do or we conduct. And that's the welcome part. We want to know each one. You know, in this large group setting, we won't be able to do that. You know, we can spend time after the service to shake hands and maybe spend 5-10 minutes with a person here, but you know, we can build a connection, a long-term relationship with another believer who would know us, who would care for us, who would challenge us spiritually and hold us accountable. That happens in small groups. And that's why we value small groups. We want to encourage each one to be part of a DNA group. Now, welcome is the first part. The second part is the worship. In verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. You know, the early church started as a group of Jews. You know, they were following Christ, but one of the practices they had back then was the Lord's Supper, the communion. It was worship. I know in the book of Corinthians, Paul addressed that there were divisions among them. They were doing communion and there were divisions. There were things that divide them, that keep them separated. But the breaking of bread denoted the Lord's Supper or communion. In our case, in the small groups, what we do, you know, we can also do that, but what we do is we worship through singing music, you know, worship songs. I remember being part of a small group where, you know, I would play a guitar, but you know, recently, thanks to technology, what we do is we just download videos from YouTube with songs and lyrics, and together we worship and watch them. The music is perfect. The setting is perfect. You know, and we can focus. Each of us who are part of the small group can focus and worship as a body in that small group setting. And the goal is the same. You know, we can worship different ways. We can explore different ways of leading us to the presence of God. But the goal is to remind us of who we are in relation to each other and in relation to God. Who are we? We are sinners saved by grace. And in the sight of God, we're all equal. And we are all in constant need of the grace of God. And that's regardless of our race, of our nationality, of our financial standing. You know, in small groups, sometimes that would the composition of the group would be different. You know, it's regardless of how long we have been believers, or how we are in our ministry position, or ministry experience, or even age. You know, in worship, we are reminded that, you know, we're all children of God. And we all need God's grace. And when we come into the presence of God as a body of Christ, we come and we are reminded of those things. That's what we do in the small groups. Similar to what we do here in the service. It's not part of our program to just, you know, don't wait for other people to come in before the message. It's a reminder for us to tune in to God and remind ourselves of His grace that we need daily. And right now, I'd like to ask Brother Lito to come and share, and his wife, Ate Joshi, to come and share. They're also part of their own DNA group. I think they're part of three groups. That's what it is.
Good morning. I'm Brother Lito Cantillo. Before I was saved, I was part of a cult. We don't believe in the Trinity. So we only believe that there's only the Father, there's no Son. That's only Jesus Christ. Until my sister, during that time when I was in a cult, I thought I was being saved. I don't know. I don't know if I am saved, because every time I taught myself that I will still go to hell every time I sin. Until my sister convinced me to attend SPC, because during that time I was really confused of my life. I was into drugs. I have a group, a Friday group, but that Friday group is only for drinking, womanizing, everything. But when I was in the church, I only attend every Sunday, but still I don't feel the growth. I mean, I'm only attending, I'm only sitting there, I'm not participating in anything. After church, I immediately get out. Just a churchgoer. I don't even know the name of the people around me until Ate Glenn and convinced me to join their group. But first, after that, it was Beth and Frank Navasa, and together with the pastor Edu in Vietnam, in Cambodia, convinced us to join the DNA group. So, why DNA group is very important? First, it is the relationship within the church. Because if we don't have any relationship with the people around us, we still feel alone. Of course, we don't know who to deal with, especially when the time that we have problems or we have issues in life. There's no somebody to run to or somebody to encourage you. That is my grandson saying hi. So, actually, I made some, I read some points that, so, it is an intimate gathering as a small group. So, how it helped me? A personal discovery. I learned how to ask questions, involve myself to the life of others, to give encouragement, to give testimonies. And of course, I learned how to deal with confidentiality. Of course, if somebody tells you what is problem, you don't have to tell it to other people, right? Spiritual growth. That is very best thing that happened. Because every time I ask a question, I think deeper about what God is, how God ran into our life. And of course, best part is deeper friendship. Deeper friendship with the people around you. Families, together with other families. Accountability, because people know you. Life becomes more transparent, especially when you are about to sin, somebody will remind you. Then opportunities to discuss issue with the church, with trusted friend, and of course, issues like making a mission. Actually, me and my wife already joined medical missions, and then we have outings together with the family. That is the greatest advantages of having a DNA group. So I hope that some people here who are not part of DNA group, there's a thousand reasons to say no. But I can assure you that it is worthwhile having a DNA group, because it will encourage you, it will give you more spiritual blessings. Thank you.
Thank you, Cantinius. So we talked about welcome, we talked about worship, now we talk about the word. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know, in our church, we believe God's word is the complete and final revelation of God. But, you know, we teach that there are other ways or methods we hear God, but what we do is we always run it by scripture. You know, if somebody, you know, we hear ways that God speak to us through, sometimes we hear the term promptings of the Holy Spirit, you know, even through our authorities or through people in the body of Christ, God speaks to us through them, even through our circumstances, and those things happen, but we always go back to scripture and check everything through scripture if they're consistent with what God has revealed to us. But in the small groups, that's essential. I think in our DNA groups, there are materials provided for us by our DNA main leader or pastor. I think that's Pastor Fernie. And I think in the next few Sundays, we're transitioning towards talking about Sunday's message. You know, and you know, discussing how it applies to us. How it impacts our lives. But we are flexible in that. We cater to what the small group needs, but it's essential. The Word of God is essential as part of our DNA groups. Today, I'd like to call as well one of our singles, Darlene. She's also part of a DNA group for professionals. Let's listen to her. Sorry.
Hello, good morning. I'm Darlene de la Soledad. By God's grace, a Sunday school teacher and a youth leader. Kinabahan ako. Okay. Back in 2007, high school days, my teacher, Mrs. Christy Arcega, introduced me to Sold Out High. But then, I did not continue. During my last days in Santolan High School, a classmate invited me to attend a small group. And it led me to attend a youth service. And on October 24, 2009, discipleship, and this time it's with my best small group helps me in my walk with God. It excites my Christian journey. I realize how important to study the Word of God, to confess and pray for one another. It leads me to know the Lord more and more. In small group, I can share my life, my happiness, my struggles, even my weaknesses. I can be myself. In small group, we love, we cry, pray, seek the Lord, and walk with Him together. In small group, life change happens. I'm 24 years old already, and I realize how much I need small group. And I really thank the Lord for giving me sisters who loves me and pray for me. And it is my prayer. It is my prayer that you will also have one. Hebrews 10:24-25, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. So we go to the last point. Works. This is ministry. You know, in a small group, you know, sometimes when we think of ministry, we think of, you know, things that we do in church, part of the music team, or part of a teaching class, or outreach. But, you know, in a small group, just being part of a small group, you are already ministering. Your presence ministers to others. Your encouragement of your words, of your presence, ministers to them. You know, what ministry is really it's meeting needs with love. And as a believer, as believers, all of us, we have our own needs, whether spiritual, emotional, you know, when we go through problems, through crisis, or even just difficult situations, we have needs. And just being able to know those needs and being able to share those needs, and you know what? Being prayed for. You know, being prayed for or praying for someone is the best way that we can minister to someone. You know, not all of our needs can get met in the small group or can get met in the body of Christ. But you know what? When they pray, that's the best thing they can do. Because it moves the hand of God in our situation. But you know what? In the body of Christ, in the early church, more than prayer, they were committed to prayer, it says. But they put their words into action. Like, because of their prayer, they have this love, they have this concern for each other. They also were moved to act and to help each other. Like, in verses 42-47, it says they would contribute so they could meet the needs of the other people in their church. And you know, we do that as well, but you know, it happens more naturally in small groups. You can't help everybody, but in small groups, you can help someone. You know, your words, things, little things you do can encourage others. And for the last testimony, I'd like to call on the Ramirez. This is Kenneth and Sheila to share their story as well as being part of a DNA group.
Judged by others. I've met people people who does this, even to their own friends. So ever since, I have made the promise to myself that people will only see what is on my surface and will not allow anyone to go deeper in my personal life and know about my struggles and things. Having an accountability group made a huge impact in my life as a Christian. God has shown me a group of people whom I can trust. I remember the night when me and my husband, Kenneth, joined the small group led by Pastor Jeff. God showed me that night that the people in that group are transparent with each other, will listen, and will hold each other up in prayers all the time. I felt that God showed me that, I felt that God showed me that night for me to let go and open up myself to them. I felt no judgment at all, and the things that have been shared within my group stays inside our circle. I have a group of people now that knows me, prays with me, cry with me, and help us on our journey as husband and wife. God has used the people within my circle as a channel of blessing too, so I feel refreshed every time that we meet as a group.
My name is Kenneth. I was saved at UPS when I was 8 and was baptized at age 15. Christian life is hard to live on your own. I don't really share my struggles like my wife. My worries to other people. I keep it to myself, also making decisions on my own. When I got married, this continued to happen to me and my wife. Problems on our own. Last February, we were invited by Pastor Jeff and J.K.'s Pastor to join their small group. Me and my wife has been part of this group for almost a year now. It has given me and my wife the personal support and encouragement. It is so much easier when you have good friends living with you, being transparent with you, reminding you of God's love and grace. They have become my best friends. Friends that accept me when I struggle, we laugh and pray together, support and pray for one another.
So that's it. It's now your decision. It's your choice. You can join or even start your own DNA group. You know, we don't have a directory. We're supposed to have that. But can I just ask a raise of hands? Those of you who are part of a DNA group. I know some of them, they're on vacation, so it's not a lot of us here. But please raise your hands. Let yourself be seen. Yeah, we're a minority, but we encourage all of you who are not part of a small group, make a decision. Join one. You have a communication card with you. Just express it there. I want to join the DNA group. Or maybe, even in your search for a DNA group of a schedule that meets your own schedule, you can find one. Maybe you were so, would I use the term desperate or motivated so much to be part of a small group that you'd even be willing to start one. No, you can sign up as a participant, or even sign up as a host. You know, maybe you can say, we've been searching for a group that meets our in a schedule that we're available in, but we can't find one. Maybe you just say, I want to be a host. I want to host one in my home. And you know, in our groups, we know being a host is difficult, so what we rotate. Sometimes we meet in one of this couple's house or another couple's house. But no, it doesn't have to be a burden. And you know what? What we've realized, yes, there's burden in doing that every Sunday, but you know, the benefits outweigh those things. So we encourage you, make a decision. That's our goal in this series, that you would be connected to a small group. So our invitation time right now is bowing heads, but not closing your eyes, but taking out your communication card and making a decision, writing down a decision. I know we've been talking about this for many Sundays now. You don't really have to pray about it anymore because this is God's will for you, to be part and be connected to the body of Christ. So let's take this moment, just a few minutes while Ted plays music. And as he does that, maybe some of you here, maybe what you need right now, you realize is, I need Christ. I mean, these people who have come up, they have shared, there's a point in their life that, you know, they made this decision and opened up their heart to this personal God whom they committed to have a personal relationship with, to be there, to be his or her Lord or Savior. Maybe today you realize, you know, I haven't made that decision. I know I need God. I have sins. I have done wrong things in my life, but I haven't really made the decision to accept Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And today, I need to make that decision. Maybe some of you, that's what you need to do today. Can I just lead you in a simple prayer that says about how to make that decision? You know, you admit, the prayer contains your admission that you need God and you need Christ in your life today. And if that's what you need, a decision that you need to make, I invite you to say this: Lord, I come to you this morning. I need you. I am a sinner. I have messed up so many times, but thank you for Jesus, that you provided him to die for my sins, to pay for my sins on the cross. And thank you that he's alive and that he can bring me that eternal life as well. And I need that. I want you, Jesus, to be my Savior. I accept you as my Savior and my Lord today. And help me to grow in this new relationship with you. Amen. So as the music continues to play, I invite everyone to stand up right now. Maybe there's a need that you have. We don't have to be part of a small group for you to be prayed for. There's a need and you need someone to pray with you. You can raise your hands or you can come forward. Some of our members here at CWC can come to you and they can pray with you. Maybe you have a need that you just need to pray for, or you need to be prayed for. We can do that right now.
Brothers and sisters in the world.